in Genesis 41. And today's message is God's will, God's way for God's glory. You know, the only way we're going to bring glory to God is if we do His will. And the only way to really do His will is to do it His way. We can't do His will our way and bring Him glory. And we can't just do life our way and not do His will and bring Him glory. So if we're going to bring Him glory, we've got to do His will. We've got to do it His way. And that's just the way it is. And I realize in a room like this, we've got different people and different mindsets and all that. And that's okay. The bottom line is truth for everyone. Amen. You can have your opinion about truth all you want, but it doesn't change the truth. The truth is the truth. And if we're going to do God's will, we need to do it God's way. And we see that in the life of Joseph. It didn't matter if he was in the pit. It didn't matter if he was a slave in Potiphar's house. It didn't matter if he was in the prison. It didn't matter if he was exalted to the palace in Egypt. He was doing God's will for his life wherever he was. He was doing it God's way, and he was giving glory to God. And we can do that. Everybody here can do that. It starts with a personal relationship with the Holy God through faith in Jesus Christ for us. Everyone here can do that. And, you know, I've enjoyed learning about some people of history as we've gone through this. And one of the things that I've learned and seen consistent with all of these rags-to-riches stories is an element that a philosophy of life they all have in common is work hard. Hard work works. Hard work works, but it's hard. So a lot of people don't like hard work because it's hard. But hard work works. I love the fact that even in my generation, my lifetime, the American dream has been reality for many, many people. Now, the American dream is not have all you want and let everybody pay for it. That's the American perversion of the American dream. The American dream is it's the job of our country to give every person the same opportunity to pursue life, liberty, and happiness. Correct? But they have to pursue it. It's not handed to them. That's never been the American way until this generation. It's expected to be handed to them. No, it can be pursued, but you have to pursue it. And today's story this morning is Clarence Thomas. I personally remember when Clarence Thomas was nominated to the bench under George Bush. And I was really glad to see a man of conservative opinion be added to the Supreme Court. And I personally was glad to see a person of color added to the Supreme Court. And he's definitely worthy of that position. No matter what Joe Biden has to say about it, you'll have to research that on your own. But Joe Biden has an opinion that's very racist in regards to Clarence Thomas. And I disagree with Joe Biden's opinion 100%. But that's all I'm going to say about that. I'm going to move right along. But he was born in Pinpoint, Georgia. Anybody ever heard of Pinpoint, Georgia? That's what I figured. I had to Google it myself. It's a suburb of Savannah, Georgia. Georgia obviously was deep entrenched in slave trade back in the day. And so many of the slaves that were made free stayed in the area where they had been slaves. And as a young boy, his father abandoned him. Strike one against his potential for success. Fatherless children have a huge hindrance to success in life. It's just statistically proven time and time again. And then he was homeless. The home he was living in caught fire and burned down to the ground, and he was homeless. Strike two against his success in life. So Clarence and his brother were sent to Savannah to grow up with their grandfather. Their grandfather was a hardworking man. He ran a small farm, and he also worked a job. It sounds like a lot of the farmers in our area here, they farm and work another job as well. And that's what this man did. So Clarence and his brother grew up learning to work from dawn to dusk, sun up, sun down, working hard. The other business they had other than the farm was an ice house. He sold ice and delivered ice. And this taught Clarence the value of hard work. And Clarence began to do deliveries for his grandfather and take on more and more responsibilities. And he learned not only the work ethic and hard work and the benefit of hard work, but he also learned to be responsible and be reliable and be trustworthy. And all of these things helped to shape young Clarence Thomas in his youth. When he graduated from high school, he was the first person in his entire family history to go to college. He went to Holy Cross College, and he studied law there. And after that, he went to Yale Law School. He made good enough grades to get a scholarship to go to Yale. And there, he pursued a degree in law. And after graduation from law school, he got involved in the legal profession, and he did well. In every situation he was in, he did well, and that offered him an opportunity for a better situation. He worked his way up, just like Joseph did. Wherever he was, he worked hard. It got him a better situation, and it still works today if you want to work that plan. He became the Attorney General of Missouri and became President Reagan's Assistant Secretary of Education and Office of Civil Rights. Under George H.W. Bush, he was appointed to the Supreme Court, or the Court of Appeals, in the District of Columbia Circuit, and he finally grasped the legal's world brass ring when he was confirmed to the Supreme Court. Is there another quote by him? Or is that it right there? What's the next slide, Brother Lyle? Okay, that's it. Okay. One of those quotes, I'm not sure if it's this one or the previous one, it just talks about the fact that if you want to work hard, you can succeed in America. And he's a great example of that. And there's many that I've seen in my lifetime. I know in the Gulf War, General Colin Powell was another great example of a man that went from rags to a very prestigious position as a 5-star general in the military. And he just worked hard, and he raised in the ranks and earned his way, and he was blessed with a very prestigious position as well. But the bottom line is, we can, in America, and I'm thankful for this in America, we can take ownership of our future. And we can improve our situation if we want to. And there are opportunities to make that possible. And you know, in the life of Joseph, I'm sure there was times where he wondered if it was ever going to change for him. But God the whole time was preparing him for the next thing. And in our lives, we may wonder, young people sometimes get tired of grade school or middle school or high school. Is this school thing ever going to end? And you need to be faithful where you are so you can be equipped for the next stage. Cheyenne was talking about the fact that she's in Algebra 2 this year. And I said, man, that's really good. But there was a lot of steps to get to Algebra 2. You don't start Algebra 2, in fifth grade, unless you're a genius or something like that. That's just not very normal. You just build up to that. And all of us, everything, every stage of life, we're preparing for the next stage. And that's what we see in the life of Joseph. God preparing him for something else. And we just need to be patient. We need to wait on the Lord, and we need to let the Lord work in our lives and prepare us for what he has planned for our future. But you know, one of the things I see about Joseph, and here in this story, we pick up in verse 16 of chapter 41, and this is after he's been, in verse 14, it says, Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and they shaved him and changed his raiment, and he came unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream and interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And then Pharaoh commences to explain his dream to him. But I think that's interesting. Joseph had confidence in God answering prayer. Joseph had confidence in God speaking to his heart and leading him to the solution to this problem. How did Joseph get that? I mean, he's been in prison for 13 years. I mean, he's either been a slave or in prison for 13 years. And then even after 11 years, he was forgotten about for two more years by the butler. See, how in the world did he know that he had confidence in God? I'll tell you how. He never stopped trusting God. It didn't matter what his circumstance was. He did not let his circumstance define God for him. He let God define God for him. And we need to make sure that we don't let the experience of life define God for us. We've been given 66 books of Holy Scripture to define God for us. We need to be students of God in His Word. We need to know the God of the Bible through the Bible of God. This book is not a book of man. It is God's book to man. Yes, He did use men to record it, but He did it in a miraculous way called verbal inspiration. I believe when God says that He would keep His word pure to every generation, God kept His promise. I realize there are people that want us to believe that for hundreds of years and over 1,000 years, we didn't have the real Word of God. It came later. Oh, my friend, God promised every generation would have the real Word of God. I believe He kept His promise, and I'm glad we've got it today. Amen? Amen. See, we need to let God's Word teach us about God. Joseph let God teach him about God. And when he came out of prison, even though it wasn't his way, he would have written his script. He was letting God write his script. Amen. And he never gave up trusting in the Lord. Amen. And when he stood before Pharaoh, he says, "It is not in me." He could have lifted himself up and said, "Yeah, I'm your man. Sign me up. I can help you out." He didn't do that. He gave glory to God even after being in prison for the past several years after being a slave before that. He never gave up on trusting the Lord. As I mentioned last week, it amazes me the simplest things that cause people to start turning their back on God. My friend, let's be like Joseph. Let's just be faithful. No matter what life throws at us, let us face it with the Lord instead of letting whatever it is draw us away from the Lord. See, Joseph knew that God had the answers to the life's questions because God had given him the answers to life's questions. And Joseph knew that if God gave him the answers to his life questions, then God could give him the answers to Pharaoh's life's questions. And you know what? Everybody that walks on the face of the earth, no matter where they're from, no matter what their culture, no matter what their nationality, no matter what their language, everybody has some of the same questions. Why am I here? How did I get here? Where am I going after here? My friend, every child of God should be able to answer those questions from this book right here. The answers to life's plaguing questions are in this book. The closer you get to the God of this book, the more sensitive you are to the Holy Spirit that inspired the writers to record this book, and He can teach you this book, the better you're going to find your answers to life's plaguing questions. See, Joseph knew God had the answers to life's questions. And Joseph let God give him those answers. See, God has the answers. And He's recorded them in His Word. And He's given us His Spirit. And He's given us even His leaders and His shepherds to help guide us through that. He's given us all kinds of tools. Even godly older people, He's put people in our lives to help us to find these answers. If we'll just let God give us the answers, He will. Amen. See, the message, even Joseph told Pharaoh, after Pharaoh told him his dream, Joseph said, "This is from the Lord. It's in two parts, but it's one dream. It's one thing that's going to happen." And he explained to him about the 7 years of good harvest and then the 7 years of famine that was going to come to the face of the earth. And God, in His grace, was warning Pharaoh about this. You know, God has given us in His Word prophecies about the future. Amen. You know, all of the prophecies in the Old Testament about Jesus coming the first time were fulfilled perfectly in detail to prove Jesus was Messiah. Jesus was God in the flesh. Every prophecy in the Old Testament that was given about Jesus' death on the cross, his substitutionary atonement, and his resurrection, every one of them were fulfilled in detail. And you know what else? Every one of the prophecies about him coming back will be fulfilled in detail. Very possibly in my lifetime, very possibly in your lifetime. I'm not going to put a timetable on God because that's pretty foolish to do. Anybody that tries to do it, they think they're smarter than God because he said, no man knows the day or the time. I think it's funny when people put dates on the Lord's return. You know, I'm not God. God does have a sense of humor. If I was God, I would, if somebody picked the right day, I'd change it. Amen? Just to prove them wrong, right? But God's more powerful than that. I kind of think whatever date people pick, it's going to be the wrong date because God's going to make them not pick the right date. God's big enough to do that, right? He doesn't have to change his date. He's just going to keep them from picking the right date. And people have been picking dates all my life. I've been hearing people pick dates. 88 reasons why the Lord should come back in 1988. Guess what? It's 2017. He hasn't come back yet. Whoever wrote that book got rich on a bunch of people that don't read their Bible. Don't be that person. People made a big deal about blood moon and all this kind of stuff. And their big old hurrah about blood moon. Guess what? I don't care what the moon looks like. The Lord's going to come back when the Lord comes back. We just need to trust the Lord. Amen? We need to let God be God. See, God wants to give his message. God has given his message. And he's given this message to this ungodly man, the Pharaoh. I mean, he believed he was a god and people ought to worship him. How ungodly can you get? I mean, narcissism taken to a quantum leap, right? Well, we act like that sometimes too. We act like we're our own god and we worship ourselves. Guess what? God has another story. You need to learn it. We need to learn God's truth, God's message. See, this message was from God, so Pharaoh needed a man of God to help him understand it, and that's who Joseph was. You know what? Everyone here has friends that have these plaguing questions, and they need a godly person that will give them God's answers from God's word. Joseph was that person for the Pharaoh. See, God has the answers to life questions. We must be able to listen. We need to listen to God. We need to be in tune with His Spirit. We need to be into His Word. We need to be teachable. We need to be listening to Him so He can show us those answers to our questions. And so we can show those answers to other people because our questions are very similar to other people's questions. That's what 2 Corinthians 1 says. Whatever trouble you're going through, let God minister to you and comfort you so you have the information to comfort other people, whatever trouble they're going through. Amen. See, we need to let God give us His answers. See, let God give you peace from His Word. That's what Joseph says. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. You know why God had an answer of peace for Pharaoh? Pharaoh was listening. Pharaoh is listening. God had Pharaoh's attention. God, listen, God can get your attention. Either he can use a still small voice if you're listening intently, or he can bring a Hurricane Harvey to get your attention. But he can get your attention. I'm kind of thinking I like the still small voice or the little tap on the shoulder instead of the 2x4 up against the side of the head. Amen. Let's cooperate with God, listening to Him, so it's easy for us to listen and to learn and to get His answers instead of doing it the hard way. See, God wants to give us an answer of peace from His Word. The Bible says in Psalm 19, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation. I have done thy commandment. My soul hath kept thy testimonies. I love them exceedingly. My friend, your love for this book will determine your time in this book. Your time in this book will determine your benefit from this book. Your benefit from this book will affect your experience in life. You want peace in your life? Let this book work in your life. This past month, the month of August, we have been memorizing in our Wednesday night Bible study. And if you want a good dose of God's Word and fellowship and encouragement halfway through your week, come on Wednesday night. We try to memorize Scripture. We share prayer requests and pray. We praise to the Lord and we spend a little time in the Word of God. It's a good pick-me-up to get you through the week. But this past month, we've been trying to memorize Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. It's there in your notes. If you haven't looked at it in a while, look at it. It says, "Great peace," or it says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Amen. See, our peace is direct proportion to our faith. Our faith is in direct proportion to our understanding of God. Our understanding of God needs to come from the Word of God. If we're learning about God from His Word, then we realize we can trust God. If we're trusting God based on what we know about God, we're going to experience peace in our lives. That's how it works. See, this book can give you peace. See, God wants us to enjoy peace in our lives, and God can help us experience peace in our lives. And God's peace is found in a personal relationship with Him that is built on this book. You know why I know I'm a sinner? The Bible says so. Somebody thought it's because your parents spanked you when you're growing up. That's true too. But the reason I know I'm a sinner is because the Bible says so. Now, you may be a better sinner than I am, but I know something about you. You're a sinner too. You know why? The Bible says so. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's how I know that. The Bible tells us our sins separate us from God. Our sins make us at enmity with God. It says all that in the book of Romans and many other places as well. But it says that about us. So it tells me I'm a sinner. It tells me that the wages of sin is death. And what I earn in my sinfulness is separation from God forever. Physical death, spiritual death, eternal death. Separation from God forever. I've earned that because I'm a sinner. And I can't change it. I can't fix it. The Bible tells me that. It's not by works of righteousness that I do. It's by His mercy He saves us. Amen. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I can't fix it myself. I need Him to fix it. And the only way He's going to fix it is by me putting my faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For there is no difference. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. All of that is in the book of Romans, and somebody showed that to me. And I put my trust in Jesus Christ. See, the peace of God starts with a relationship with God. Through faith in Jesus Christ. It's the same for everybody. You say, well, it's different for me. I believe differently. Guess what? It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you believe. It's the same for everybody.
Amen.
It doesn't matter how you were raised. You say, well, Pastor, I was raised in a different religion. It doesn't matter. It's the same for everybody.
Right.
Well, Pastor, I was raised in a different culture, in a different country. It doesn't matter. It's the same for everybody. My friend, the Bible says all. Guess what all means? Good guess. Doesn't matter if it's Hebrew, doesn't matter if it's Greek, doesn't matter if it's English. It means all. All are sinners. All have sinned. All are separated from God. All need the Savior, Jesus Christ. And only those that receive Jesus will become His children. That's it. Peace with God, peace from God, peace in our lives all starts with having Jesus as our Savior. And all of that is based on the authority of the Word of God. It's not my opinion. It's not Baptist ideology. It's Bible.
Amen.
It's God's Word. And we need to understand it. See, the source of peace for Pharaoh is the same source of peace for us. Understanding God's message to us and letting it work in our lives. Joseph told Pharaoh that God would answer his questions and give him an answer of peace. And he did. Even though the answer had some bad news. And sometimes the answer we give to people has some bad news. I don't know about you, but telling somebody they're a sinner, I mean, that's not good news, is it? Telling somebody they're separated from God, that's not good news, is it? Telling somebody that if they stay in that condition, they'll be separated from God forever, that's bad news, isn't it? But the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's good news, right?
Amen.
But good news is only good news if it comes in time.
Right.
People are passing away every day. Every day, people we know are going into eternity. We need to be making sure we get the good news to them before it's too late. See, God has peace for them, but it's in a relationship with Him. See, we need to let God give us His plan for our future. The logic is this. God is the giver of life. Therefore, life should be lived for God. And the answers to life need to come from God. And the best way to live life is by letting God guide us through it. And only God knows the future for any one of us.
That's right.
And we need God to fulfill His perfect will in our lives by us letting Him guide us through it. It's the same for everybody. So my question to you is where you are on that journey. Have you come to the place where you realize God created you? And you will answer to Him. That's a good place to be, but it's only the starting place. Have you gone a little bit further in the journey and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? You've been born into God's family and you have a home in heaven? That's a great place to be, but that's not the only place God wants you to be. Are you walking with God daily? Are you letting Him speak to your heart through His Word? Are you letting His Spirit guide you through life's journey in His perfect will for your life? My friend, that's where God wants every single person. Are you there? Where are you on that continuum? Would you let God move you from where you are to where He wants you to be today? God has the answers to life's questions. But when God gives us the answer, guess what He wants us to do with it? He wants us to share it. I'm sure Pharaoh would have been pretty bummed if he did all of that, brought him up out of prison, got him all cleaned up, brought him into the palace, and Joseph says, it's not in me to give you the answer, but God will give you the answer of peace. And then Pharaoh tells him the story about the good kine and the good ears of corn, and then the bad cows and the bad ears of corn and all of this. And then Joseph says, yep, that's a dream. God has the answer. And He's told it to me. Can you imagine if he stopped right there? Pharaoh's saying, and, right? And the rest of the story is, what? I'm waiting. And Joseph just stood there. When God gives you an answer, He wants you to share it.
Amen.
There's friends you have that don't need you to keep quiet about Jesus. Don't keep quiet about Jesus. He's given you the answer to share with them. If you spend time in God's Word this week, He will give you His message. If you'll just spend time in His Word, He will speak to your heart. If you'll listen to Him, He will speak to you. When He does, do not keep it to yourself. Don't be selfish with the blessings of God. Share them with people. There's people you work with that need to hear what God gave to you from His Word. There's people you're going to come in contact with this week, need to hear the message God gives to you from His Word. There's friends of yours and neighbors of yours and family members of yours that need to hear that God is speaking to His children and it's something worth listening to and it can help in their life. And God can have the same kind of relationship with them if they want it. Don't keep it to yourself. When God gives you the answer, share it with people. That's why He gives it to you. See, we need to get God's answers to life's questions from God, but we also need to give God's answers to people. There's a lot of scriptures there in your notes. I am not going to look at them all. I don't have the time. Some of you are really dying to get out of here. And I don't want mean faces looking at me when I'm going through all those scriptures. That's really not why. I never intended to go through them all. I put them there for you. I already looked at them. I don't need to look at them again. They already spoke to my heart. I want them to speak to your heart. Amen. Every one of these scriptures talk about God speaking and wanting us to speak. And that third line, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, first five books of the New Testament, every one of them are talking about spreading the gospel around the world. That's our job. If we have the gospel, we need to share the gospel. Take a look. Today, this afternoon, take a look. This week, take one a day. That'll keep you busy if you just take one a day. Get into the Word of God. Let the Word of God speak to you and then share that message that God gives to you to other people because they need to hear it too. Don't keep it quiet. Share it with people. See, we need to give God the glory for His message. You know, when God speaks to your heart, whether answered prayer or a message from His Word, or even a blessing from somebody else, you know what you need to do? Just make this your habit. I've started doing this in my life, and it really helps me to not forget. Anybody have a problem with remembering stuff? Jasmine knows that from firsthand experience. Sorry, Jasmine. We all forget stuff, don't we? She was very gracious with me. But we all forget stuff. The bottom line is, do it when it happens. When you get something from God's Word, praise Him for it right then. Thank Him for it right then. When somebody blesses you with something that they've gotten from God's Word, say, man, praise the Lord. That's such a blessing. Thank you for sharing that with me. When God answers prayer, take time to pause right then. Give Him the glory. In fact, when He answers it, maybe you're at work, maybe you're at school, maybe you're wherever. When He answers it, just say, praise the Lord out loud. Freak people out. Man, I love it. I love saying something to God's glory, you know, among people that, you know, I don't have a clue where they are spiritually. I love seeing their response. Every once in a while, somebody says, yep, praise the Lord. I say, well, we're on the same wavelength, amen. Then other people look at you like, you know, like, where did you come from? I just like seeing people's response. But God deserves the praise. Doesn't the Bible say something about praising Him among the heathen? Amen. Yeah, it does. Those are some of those verses you're going to look up this week. See, we need to praise Him among the heathen. They need to hear God's people praising Him. That's what we need to do. See, we need to give Him the glory. When He gives us something from His Word, we need to give Him the glory. When He works in our lives, we need to give Him the glory. No matter where we are, no matter who we're around, we need to give Him the glory, the praise, and the adoration that He deserves. Because He didn't have to do that. Did you hear me? He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to give us His Word. Whew, I'm glad He did. He doesn't have to speak to my heart. But I'm really glad He does. He doesn't have to answer my prayers. But I'm so thankful for His grace and mercy that causes Him to. See, we get so used to it. If you've been saved for a while, you're in dangerous territory. You know why? You're getting used to it. For people that it's new and fresh for, it's exciting. For people who've been saved a long time, if you're not keeping it fresh, it's not exciting anymore, and you're in a dangerous spot because it just gets normal. Don't let your relationship with God become normal. Let it be special. To keep it fresh and exciting every time God gives you something from His Word or an answer to prayer, stop right then wherever you are, whoever's around, give him the praise and glory for it. Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter who's around. Doesn't matter if it's in church. Doesn't matter if it's at the grocery store. Doesn't matter if it's at school. And if your teacher or your principal wants to give you trouble over that, call me. And I'll have a wonderful conversation with them. They cannot keep you. They cannot keep you from praying. They cannot keep you from praising God. They can't force you to pray. And they can't force you to praise God. But they cannot stop you. I'll take that to the court on your behalf. Give God the glory he deserves when he gives you his message. And God's will, I wrote this way on purpose, okay? God's will happen. God's will happen. And you need to prepare yourself for it. In verse 33 of chapter 41, it says, "Now therefore let Pharaoh look out for a man, discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. And let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up a fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. And let them gather all of the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. That food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine." My friend, there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And the Bible tells us about that, and we need to be ready for it. And the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, but after that, the judgment. And he's warned us about that judgment.
That's right.
And we need to prepare ourselves. Amen. You know what this book is? How many of you students like open book tests? Oh, I love those. Don't you, Micah? They are awesome. And what about the teachers that tell you when they're reviewing the curriculum and they say, "You're going to want to know this on test day." Don't you love that? Cheyenne's like, "Yeah, give me more of those teachers." I love that when teachers do that. Guess what God's done? He's given you the answers to the test.
Amen.
When it comes judgment day, you've got the material right here to be prepared. The question is, are you preparing yourself? See, the teacher can tell you, "Hey, you're going to need to know this on test day." The teacher can tell you, "You can keep your books open and all you got to do is find the answers." The teacher can all do all of that, but the teacher cannot take the test for you.
Right.
Amen? God's given you the answers to the test. God's given you his spirit to help you prepare for the test. But you're going to have to take the test. It's going to be you in front of him on judgment day. The question is, will you be prepared? This book is full of preparation for judgment day. Will you be in a right relationship with God on that day? Will you be headed to heaven or will you be headed to hell? The question is, are you prepared for eternity? Christian friend, are you going to be prepared for the judgment seat of Christ? The Bible tells us in many places, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be judged for the things we do in this life. For faithfulness, not for sin. Aren't you thankful our sin is judged at the cross in Jesus? But we answer to the Lord for our faithfulness to him. May the Lord find us faithful when he returns. Are you going to be prepared for judgment day? It's coming. I preached a sermon many, many years ago back in Indiana. Ready or not, here he comes. You remember playing that game? Hide and seek, and somebody closes their eyes and counts, and the cheaters peek and all that garbage. And everybody goes out and tries to hide while they're counting to whatever number's been set. My friend, the number's been set. Jesus is coming back. The father one day is going to say, it's time, go get your children. The question is, are you going to be one of his children when that day comes? Are you going to be prepared as a faithful servant of the Lord? We need to be prepared. See, God's will happen. The question is, will you be part of his will? See, we can... See, God declares his message to man, his will to man. And God gives people the preparations for his plan. The plan of redemption is preparation for that eternal judgment. The plan of justification is available to all those who are redeemed. We are justified. We're made right with God. And God's plan of sanctification is possible to anyone who is justified. That's what God wants. But are you resisting that plan? Are you cooperating with that plan? God's coming back. You can't stop that. You will stand before the Lord and give an account for your life. You can't stop that. The question is, are you going to be prepared when it happens? See, we must choose to prepare. God gives people opportunity to be prepared. Because of his grace and mercy, he gives us opportunity. But we must choose to prepare. We must choose to be prepared. And we must choose to be part of his plan, positively or negatively. You're part of his plan. One way or the other, you're part of his plan. You're either a positive part of his plan or you're a negative part of his plan. See, you can resist the will of God in your life, but it doesn't change the will of God around you. It just changes your experience of the will of God in your life. God's will still is going to be done. You're still going to live. You're still going to go into eternity. You're still going to answer to him. His will happen. The question is, will it happen in your life in a positive way or a negative way? See, if you resist and rebel against his will, it's going to be real negative for you. But if you submit and cooperate with his will, it'll be real positive for you. It doesn't change his will. He's God.
Amen.
You ain't stopping it, okay? He's God. Don't think that you can change it. He's God. His will happen. The question is, are you prepared to be a positive part of it, or are you going to end up being a negative part of it? You have to answer that question. If you've never been born again, today's the day to prepare yourself. If you're saved but away from the Lord, today's the day to prepare yourself. It's going to happen. The question is, how are you going to experience it? Even like in life today, God's will happens every day. The question is, are you part of it in a positive way, or is it going to affect you in an adverse way? God's will happens. He's God. The question is, how's it happening in your life? Let's make some changes today. Let's do God's will, God's way, for God's glory. And for our good. It's a whole lot better that way.